Welcome to Alliance for the Brave, a program that advocates for our veterans and first responders. Presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Certified Senior Advisor Jim Blythe, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Alliance for the Brave, serving and empowering those who have served in the line of duty, with a focus on bringing the core leadership values of honor, duty, and service to our communities. America, let's take action to take care of our brave men and women who have put their lives on the line to serve us nationally and locally. It's time to tune in, join in, and plug in. Welcome to Alliance for the Brave. And now, here's your host, Jim Blythe.
In the air everywhere, from the mighty Trinity to the Red River Valley, you're listening to Alliance for the Brave, where we bring education, information, and communication to today's veterans and active duty military. I'm Jim Blythe, U.S. Navy veteran, certified senior advisor. Joining me this morning, one of my absolutely favorite co-hosts, one of the sharpest guys I've ever seen, Patrick Alcorn. Good morning. How are you doing,
brother? Good morning. I'm excited to be here. I can hardly wait to get started.
Well, let's get started. Tell everybody who you are if they're just now tuning in. Because you are, I think, you are one of the most important veterans in what you do to help veterans get started in business. So, Patrick, tell everybody about your Small Business Administration work.
Awesome. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Strategies on Saturdays. I'm Patrick Alcorn. I'm the director of the Veterans Business Outreach Center at the University of Texas at Arlington. We are, in essence, the SBA for veterans. The SBA does three things for all entrepreneurs, for everyone helping to start and or grow a business. You call it the three C's. They help them with government contracting. The largest purchaser of goods and services in the entire world is the U.S. federal government and all of its agencies, spending over $600 billion last year alone. So the SBA helps entrepreneurs and small businesses make the federal government one of its customers. The second C is access to capital. Although they don't give direct loans, they do co-sign on loans for you, up to 85% for domestic loans and up to 95% on international loans, so access to capital. And then last but not least, access to counseling. They help you with all of the training and education and mentoring that you need in order to start or grow your business. That's the SBA, and I am the SBA for veterans, the Veterans Business Outreach Center at the University of Texas at Arlington. You can reach us at hashtag UTAVBOC. That's hashtag Uniform Tango Alpha, Victor Bravo Oscar Charlie. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Strategies on Saturdays.
What have you got something exciting about what's going on now? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the most exciting thing that we've got going on right now is we're developing some incredible strategic partnerships, some incredible strategic relationships to create this one-stop shop conference that'll happen in November. As some of you may know, some of you may not, the city of Arlington wants to become the place where veterans muster out when they get out of the military. And there's a new community, mixed-use community, that's being developed right now in Arlington called Texas Live. It's going to be anchored by AT&T Cowboy Stadium, the Globe Life, the Texas Rangers ballpark, and a new hotel, the flagship hotel of the Lowe's brand called Live by Lowe's. That entire mixed-use space over there is going to be the new conference and convention center area for the city of Arlington. And our conference, the Veterans Business Week Conference, is going into that space for 2019 through 2023.
I want to sign up and go. So where do I go to sign up, brother?
Absolutely. Go to hashtag, as we said, hashtag UTAVBOC. That's hashtag UTAVBOC.
Now, how much does this cost? I'm a Vietnam veteran, so how many shekels have I got to put out?
Well, if you get in early, it's only $99. So the early registration is $99. We keep it up under 100 for you. We don't know why we do that. It just makes the most sense, right? But it's $99. But the great thing about it, it's a 3-day conference. You got full meals across the board. So you got dinner and reception on the first night. You got breakfast and lunch on the second day, and breakfast and lunch on the third day. So for $99, you can't beat that. That's less than $20 per meal is what we're talking about, with all the training and education and all the resources that are available to you. But before we go deep into that, we're still in the planning phases, and we're still putting that program together. We're still making all of our contacts with our resource partners across the board. So you'll hear more about that in some of our later shows. We're still, I guess, about 6 months out from November. So we've got a little time to chat about that. What I want to do this morning is I want to get into why you want to link up with the Veterans Business Outreach Center at the University of Texas at Arlington. And it all comes down to getting from where you are right now in business, whether you're a nascent business and only have an ideal, or whether you're a seasoned business, whether you're a small business and a single member entity, in other words, you're a one-man show, or whether you're a large corporation with multiple employees internationally across the board. Why would you link up with the University of Texas Arlington and the Veterans Business Outreach Center? Because we help entrepreneurs, we help business owners of all sizes and all scales make decisions and take action.
Well, you make sure they're successful.
Absolutely.
Well, Patrick, I know more about why this is so important from my experience in managing retail shopping centers. 90% of the businesses that start up, when people buy a franchise or whatever, 90% of them fail in the first year. So what you do is ensure success by teaching them the very basics and mentoring them, and also helping them connect with the right capital sources. I think that's tremendously important, without a doubt. And the success rate, and I've heard that the success rate that you have is a whole lot higher than the national average.
Absolutely. Well, we don't jump into the numbers, but I will say this. When you get the training that you're supposed to have, you have to remember this. After World War II, 50% of veterans started businesses. Mm-hmm. So this country grew on the backs of veteran-owned businesses after World War II. These were patriotic individuals who had just fought for their country. They came back and they saw problems across America, and they started businesses to solve problems. That's the whole focus of having a business to begin with. So these veterans started businesses to solve problems, and these businesses grew. These businesses helped America to be great again. They helped America to be strong. Today, only 4% of veterans start businesses. And the reason, I believe, this is just one man's opinion, but it's a good opinion. The reason I believe that only 4% start businesses is because they are not aware of the resources, the myriad of resources that are available to help them get started, get going, and keep growing. Not only are they not aware, but once they're aware, they don't know how to connect to those resources. So that's what we do at the VBOC. We make folks more aware, and then we connect them to those resources.
Well, it sounds like also that you're giving them that structure, that team, that relationship that enables them to continue the mission. Because I think a lot of people feel like, and I did to a degree myself when I got out, that you're suddenly disjointed. You're away from that support group. You live such a structured life that when you come out, all of a sudden, there is very little structure unless you get some guidance in having it. So what you're doing is you're also bringing not only the leadership, the training, the various components, but you're bringing a camaraderie as well. And that's part of what I like, because this goes back to your training in the Army. You were an Army West Point. You went to West Point.
Absolutely. And, you know, what's interesting when you think about this, the majority of folks who join the military, they join the military right out of high school. Yeah. You have a few that go in a little bit later, a few that'll get a couple years of college and go in, a few that'll complete college and go in. But for the most part, People join the military right out of high school. Now, think about this lifestyle. When you're in high school, you're up under your parents' roof, right? And so your parents are, in many cases, dictating when you wake up, what you eat, when you eat.
They provide that discipline.
They provide that discipline. They provide that structure. They provide that environment for you. And then you go off into the military. The military helps maintain that environment for you. They tweak it. They make it even tighter, but they help maintain that environment for you. And you spend X amount of years in the military, whether as little as 4 years or as many as 40 years. And now you walk out of the military into what I call the real world, where you no longer have that structured environment anymore. And now the question is, okay, so what? What time do I wake up? What time do I eat? When do I eat? Where do I eat? Where do I go? How do I take care of this bill, that bill? All of those things that are second nature to the folks who didn't join the military, those folks who are in the military in this structure system don't have that information. Don't have it across the board. And so the reason when they come out of the military there's this disconnect is simply because they're moving from one environment to another environment. And it's like going back to the high school days where you were up under your parents' tutelage, and that parent may have been the U.S. military for a number of years, but now you're up under no one's tutelage.
And that's one of the things that I think people have to work the hardest to develop those skills. And that's one of the things I found years ago in working with teenage boys in the Texas prison system. They were coming out in a halfway house, and they didn't have that structure to be able to self-discipline. So that's part of what you do. Now, I think another part of what you do is the marketing side of it. That, you know, Patrick, you can have the greatest idea in the world. You can be the greatest looking guy in the world. You can be the greatest idea in the world. But if nobody knows about you, what, you're not going to get anywhere.
Well, Jim, what's interesting is marketing is just one of the 20 focus areas that all business owners face. There are four challenges that, regardless of the size of your business, doesn't matter if you're a one-man show or an international corporation, there are four challenges that every business faces. And those four challenges fall into, one, creating an attractive business concept, something that someone wants, something that someone needs.
Solve a problem.
So it's having a great business idea and designing the right product portfolio that you can sell to customers and that you can bring to market. So the business concept is one of the four challenges. One of the other four challenges is customer relations. That's where the marketing comes into play. When you talk about customer relations, is how do you find your customer? Who specifically is your customer? The example I use in my training all the time is, you know, our bodies are 68 to 70% water. So common sense says we should drink water. Common knowledge, according to all of the folks in healthcare, they say that we should drink 8 to 10 glasses a day. So both common sense and common knowledge tell us that we should be drinking water. But I ask my audience over and over again, raise your hand how many of you drink 8 to 10 glasses of water a day. In a room full of 100 people, maybe 10 people will raise their hand.
Yeah, I see that.
So even with common sense and common knowledge, we haven't made it common practice to do that which we know. So it's the same thing with customer relations. We think because my business is distributing bottled water, that everybody that drinks water is my customer, and that's not true.
No.
Because everybody that drinks water doesn't drink bottled water. And not only that, everybody that drinks bottled water doesn't drink my bottled water. Some want Perrier, some want Evian, some want Great Value, some want some other brand.
Well, I tell you what, let's do. Let's take a break for a minute and hear from our partners. But again, where can people go to find out about this conference in November? What day in November?
Hashtag UTAVBOC. November 3rd is the start of a week-long conference.
Okay, and how can people get a hold of you?
Get a hold of me the same way. We keep it simple. Hashtag UTAVBOC.
And this is Patrick Alcorn. He is the guru of teaching people to be self-employed, self-reliant, and serving the greater good. So, Patrick, we got a lot more to talk about when we come back. So this is Jim Blythe and Patrick Alcorn in the Special Service Day. What did you call it, Patrick?
The Veterans Business Outreach Center at the University of Texas Arlington and the Veterans Business Symposium.
All right, and we'll be right back after this word from all of our partners.
1160 AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas. Brought to you by the Spice and Tea Exchange at 319 South Main Street. In mid-November of 1845, settlers from Missouri, the Archibald Leonard family, B.J. and Hiram Crowley, Ambrose Foster, and the family of Judge Jacob Moorhead settled near Lonesome Dove. 2 years later, the Lonesome Dove Baptist Church was established south of Judge Moorhead's place near Grapevine.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange. We started in Fort Worth and just really loved the Grapevine area. We wanted to capture the folks that were from Dallas that came to the stockyards that said, oh, this is so far for us. And Grapevine is such a beautiful area. We decided that that was a perfect place for our second location.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange.
Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today.
Hi, I'm Jim Blythe, certified senior advisor. I've been working with seniors for 10 years in Texas and Oklahoma, helping them with financial issues, home finance, helping them to restructure their life. Save their home, save the farm, that's what I do. I teach them, I help them, and I work with them. You can look me up on jimblythe.net or you can call me at 214-502-4600. That's 214-502-4600.
The American Red Cross, the Dallas Baptist Men, Community Emergency Response Teams, the Salvation Army. To that list, add the RLA Scouts. Founded in the ashes of 9/11, the RLA Scouts provide agile, well-trained, certified, and vetted first response personnel available to police and fire rescue at a moment's notice. And we need you. Whether you help fund the mission or join the mission, consider the RLA Scouts. Visit their website now and make a tax-deductible donation. RLAscouts.org. The RLA Scouts, the next rescue resource for Texas.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
You have to sell your gorgeous but suddenly unaffordable house. Now, who will buy it? These guys buy. You have to sell your mom and dad's old rundown house. Now, who will buy it? These guys buy. You have to sell your crazy Aunt Zelda's house. You know, the one with all the cats. These guys buy. Taj Mahal? These guys buy. Old musty dump? These guys buy. Just plain ugly? These guys buy. Sell your property now. As is, no fees, no repairs, no waiting. TheseguysBuy.com. TheseguysBuy.com. TheseguysBuy.com.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave, honoring, serving, and empowering those who have served in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. And now, back to the conversation on Alliance for the Brave.
Good morning and welcome on this beautiful, hot, my goodness gracious, Patrick, it is smoking hot out there. Hot day alert. Be careful if you're outside barbecuing or swimming in the pool. Stay hydrated. Drink that 8 to 10 glasses of water today that you were talking about.
There you go. They tell me it was 103 degrees here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area yesterday. It's supposed to get up around 104, 106 today. But you know what? Any day above ground is a good day. I'll take the heat any day.
I'm with you, man. I love living here. Patrick, this is such a great conversation that we're talking about these four elements to having a successful business. And we were talking about the business concept. We've been talking about customer relations. So let's continue talking about customer relations and how important that is.
All right. Again, welcome to Strategies on Saturdays with Patrick Alcorn. and Jim Blythe. I'm the director of the Veterans Business Outreach Center at the University of Texas at Arlington. You can reach us at hashtag UTAVBOC. We've been talking about the four challenges that every business faces. Every business owner must deal with these four challenges, regardless of whether you are a single business owner doing it all by yourself, a mom and pop, or a multinational corporation. You've got to have a business concept that attracts customers and attracts folks to your business that solves a particular problem. That's challenge number one. Challenge number two was you've got to have systems in place to develop your customer relationships and how you interact with your customers. Number one, how do you identify them? How do you reach them? How do you communicate to them? How do you interact with them on a day-to-day basis to keep them engaged and keep them reaching for your product, to refer your product to others? All of that's called the customer relations challenge. The third challenge is that of the organization. How are you organized? Are you a single member LLC? Are you a multi-member LLC? Are you a corporation, a multinational corporation? Are you a sole proprietorship? What types of partnerships do you have? Do you have employees or contractors that work alongside of you? What are some of the legal issues that you have to deal with based upon how you are organized? So the third challenge is, how are you organized? And you have to get that down right to make sure that you can operate your business the best way that you can to bring value to your customers and to your shareholders if you have those.
And if you make a mistake doing that, it can be very, very costly.
Absolutely. You could find yourself having a great organization, or find yourself with a great product, great interaction with customers, but because you're organized wrong, your business could end up failing because you don't have the correct structure in place to keep the business moving forward.
Well, not only that, but the tax consequences sometimes of the wrong structure can be devastating.
Exactly. One of the big challenges that so many business owners face is they fail, especially those that have employees, is they fail to take out the withholdings for their employees. That becomes a major tax issue for them, and the business ends up folding simply on something as simple as that.
All right, let me give you a little bit of a story on that, because I've seen that happen where they didn't do the proper withholding, and all of a sudden, here comes the IRS. Now, do you know that if you mess that up, it's triple? So, in other words, if you fail to pay the FICA taxes for your employees, let's say it's $25,000, you now could very easily owe the IRS $75,000, and you can't bankrupt out of that.
In every situation, IRS penalties add up.
Oh.
And they can kill you. So the three challenges that we've talked about were the business concept, customer relations, and the organization. The fourth challenge that every business faces, regardless of its size, regardless of its structure, regardless of its product, regardless of its customer relations, is its profitable operations. And that's even if you're a nonprofit, because profitability for a nonprofit means having access to donors and having those donors continue to give you a stream of revenue so that you can operate your nonprofit. Every business, whether it's nonprofit or profit, has to manage its revenue stream. So having profitable operations where the financials are in order, the funding's in order, how you deliver the products and the services, your IT system, your facilities, all of that's part of your profitable operations. So those four challenges: business concept, customer relations, organization, and operations are the four challenges that every single business owner has to deal with.
You know, Patrick, a lot of times in managing retail centers and working with business owners, a lot of people get the operations part down. They know how to be an engineer. They know how to be a lawyer. They know how to do this, but they don't always know how to integrate that in. And I think that that becomes a very, very serious problem. When we come back, I really would like you, if you can, dig in a little bit more, because we're going to give the people a taste of what a fabulous conference you're going to put on. We're also going to be looking for sponsors. So if you're a corporate sponsor and you're wanting a chance to get in front of a lot of veterans and a lot of people, there's going to be a place to go, and that's the UTAVBOC. So this is Jim Blythe with Patrick Alcorn. We're going to bring more about strategy on Saturday, business development to make you successful. Right, Patrick?
That's it.
All right. This is Jim Blythe and Patrick Alcorn, and we'll be right back after this word from all of our partners. Stay tuned, tune in, join in, and welcome.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. There's plenty to do before the June 12th meeting between President Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un.
I think it's going to be a process that we deserve to have. I mean, we really deserve it. They want it. We think it's important. And I think we would be making a big mistake if we didn't have it. I think we're going to have a relationship, and it'll start on June 12th.
But the president is also downplaying expectations. He said that this is one step. Only one meeting in a series of meetings, and that nothing is likely to be signed right away. There is plenty to talk about, the North's nuclear weapons and U.S. sanctions at the top of the list. Speaking in Singapore, Defense Secretary James Mattis was asked about U.S. troops in South Korea.
That issue is not on the table here in Singapore on the 12th, nor should it be.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
When I say Italy, what comes to mind?
Venice. Capri. Oh my gosh, Capri was marvelous.
The views, the cliffside views, or traveling to Sorrento.
Pirello Tours.
Oh, Pirello Tours, for sure.
Pirello.
Hi, I'm Steve Pirello of Pirello Tours. With over 70 years of tour experience to Italy, it's no wonder Pirello Tours is synonymous with travel to Italy.
I think of the culture.
And to walk up to certain areas and touch a wall and think, well, this wall's like 3,000 years old.
Being on a Pirello Tour on our anniversary was better than anything I can remember ever on an anniversary.
I personally approve every itinerary to ensure a stress-free, once-in-a-lifetime vacation.
Salute!
Call now for your free insider's guide to Pirillo's Italy. Call in the next 30 minutes and qualify for a $100 gift card when you travel with us. Call 800-547-6018. 800-547-6018. 800-547-6018.
The American Red Cross, the Dallas Baptist Men, Community Emergency Response Teams, the Salvation Army. To that list, add the RLA Scouts. Founded in the ashes of 9/11, the RLA Scouts provide agile, well-trained, certified, and vetted first response personnel available to police and fire rescue at a moment's notice. And we need you. Whether you help fund the mission or join the mission, consider the RLA Scouts. Visit their website now and make a tax-deductible donation. RLAscouts.org. The RLA Scouts, the next rescue resource for Texas.
Getting ready to go here at the Pocono Raceway.
The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series.
A racetrack unlike any other.
NASCAR's best drivers tangle.
Blaney goes all the way onto the apron. Kyle Busch is going to crowd him down there.
On the tricky triangle.
And here comes Kevin Harvick from the third spot.
The Pocono 400.
23-year-old Ryan Blaney will score his first career win.
Sunday at noon on the Motor Racing Network.
Don't miss the Pocono 400 tomorrow at noon on 1160 AM KBDT.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave, honoring, serving, and empowering those who have served in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. And now, back to the conversation on Alliance for the Brave.
Good morning and welcome back. This is Jim Blythe with Patrick Alcorn, and we are talking about Strategic Saturday, how to succeed in business. And I have the expert. I've got the guy here. How long have you been coaching people and turn them around? Because I've known you about, what, 4 years, 5 years?
Wow. My coaching started in high school, and it seems like it's always been my personality and it's always been my nature to add value where I can add value. So I'm a constant student. I'm constantly learning and educating myself on the best policies, practices, and procedures to help folks grow and improve and prosper. And I've been doing that ever since. It was my job in the military. I was responsible for training and operations when I was in the military to help folks with their military occupational specialties and help them stay trained up in their particular skill. And then since I've come out of the military, that's been my job. But in 2012, I started with the Texas Veterans Commission, working with the Texas Veterans Commission, and in 2014, the Veteran Entrepreneur Program, to specifically train in the area of veterans who were interested in starting and growing businesses. And I did that just in Texas. And in 2016, the U.S. Small Business Administration asked me to do it outside of Texas, including Oklahoma and Arkansas. And now we're going to go national. We're going to train veterans all across the nation.
I think that's the greatest thing, because we are in the process of also, with Alliance for the Brave, syndicating it nationally. So maybe the next Saturday that you're on, we're going to be, instead of from the Trinity to the Red River, we're going to be from sea to shining sea and from the Gulf of Mexico to the Great Lakes. But Patrick, let's go back to the topic. Within these four areas that you're talking about with the growth wheel, what do you think the biggest challenge is for most people?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Jim, because that biggest challenge depends upon where you are in your stage of development as a business. If you're a nascent entrepreneur and all you've got is an idea in the back of your mind, you've seen a problem out there and you think you have the solution to the problem, the biggest focus area for you right now at this moment is developing your business concept and making sure that you have this ideal down pat and you've got it written in a way that makes sense, and you've got it designed and developed in a way that makes sense. Look to check and see what the competition is out there, what's already being done to solve that particular problem that you're trying to solve. Take, for example, Jim, what's going on with Uber and Lyft. Folks would look and say, well, how did Uber and Lyft come to existence when we had all these taxi cabs across the world? All these taxi cabs across the world. Well, look at the problem. The problem is getting people who land in an area to go from point A to point B, and they don't have their own transportation with them. So typically bus stations, airports, things of that nature, or business owners, anybody who's in a particular spot, call it point A, and they need to get to point B, and they don't have their transportation with them. The old school was, let's call a taxi. So now you waited for a dispatcher along the board. So folks said, well, how did Uber and Lyft and other programs like that, rideshare programs, come into existence? Because the problem is huge. You'll never run out of people trying to get from point A to point B.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have another idea of how to get people from point A to point B, let's develop your business concept to how you're going to get people from point A to point B. Just the business concept itself. Before you start worrying about how to get to the customers, before you start worrying about how you should be organized, before you start worrying about the operations, let's make sure the concept is sound. Uber made sure that the concept of ride share was a sound concept before they decided to form themselves as an LLC, as a corporation, as the entity that they are today.
Well, I've used Lyft a lot when Diane and I travel and when I've traveled, and it has been a huge help, because many cases, and especially I know in the city of Dallas, trying to find a yellow cab is very difficult.
And they're still there. They're still out here.
They're still there, but they're hard to find. Now, it's reformatting how they do business as well.
Exactly.
But this is changed. It's kind of like, maybe if I draw an analogy to Walmart.
Okay.
I remember when the first Walmarts came in, And boy, that was a novel approach.
Yeah, a retailer who puts products on the shelf that they don't make.
Yeah.
That was Walmart's introduction of themselves to the world. We're going to partner with everyone else who makes product, and we're going to become their distribution center to the consumer. And we'll put everyone else's products on the shelf, and we don't worry about having products of our own. We'll just become the distribution center for everyone else's products.
And so with that concept, they have become probably the largest retail outlet in the world.
In terms of distribution for those types of products, absolutely.
Okay, so let's come back to, I've got a problem. I see a problem. That problem may be that providing meals to a specific group or doing something, I see a problem. And I either have the skills or can get the skills. And again, developing that concept so that you can communicate it. So is that part of the key? Is if I understand the concept, then I can communicate it to you?
Absolutely. Once you've got this concept down and you've walked through that challenge, the challenge of the business concept itself, and you've got the answers to that question, you know exactly what your business ideal is, you know exactly what products and or services are going to support that business ideal, you know where your revenue is going to come from and where the money is going to come from for your product or service, and you know who your customers are, you know what they look like, what they taste like, what they feel like, and then finally, you know where you want to be in the market, whether you want to be the market leader or whether you want to catch the final scraps that hit the ground. Once you know all of that, otherwise known as your business concept, your challenge now, may no longer be a nascent entrepreneur, a new business, but your challenge may be to figure out how you're going to structure this organization. So then you start moving and dealing with the challenge of your organization itself. Can I do this as a sole proprietorship all on my own with a bunch of partners and a bunch of affiliate relationships? Or do I need to have an LLC to protect myself from a legal standpoint across the board to make sure that I'm spreading out some of that liability and changing up the way that I'm being taxed? Do I need to go full-blown corporation? Do I need to go public? And then you start working on that question. That becomes a challenge for you now, is asking yourself, how am I organized? And that challenge continues to change, because the day you might decide, I can handle it as a sole proprietorship. And then you start to grow as an organization, and 6 months down the line, you find out, wow, I really need to form some type of legal entity, some type of corporation, or whether it's an LLC or a partnership or whatever the case may be, because the organization is growing, and now we have some increased liability. We have some increased taxation, so we may need to change the structure of our organization. And you may be looking for other forms of capital, so you may need to change the structure of your organization to fully incorporate so that you can go out and get capital and start to look for investors and look for and become a public organization. So that becomes a new challenge for you. So each of those four challenges, they come into play based upon where you are in the development of your business and where you are in the development of you as the leader of the business.
Now, Patrick, one of the questions that you showed me, and I've seen this many, many times, is a business owner becomes so myopic and they're focused on just one area. I'll never forget sitting down with the owner of a company, and I said, put your pen down, quit being the draftman, and become the leader, because you need to lead your people.
Now, focus for a business owner is good, but let's think about what it is that you're focusing on. If you're focusing on being the technician, the doer within the business,
right,
then how can your business grow?
Exactly.
You have to begin thinking about and spending time working on your business rather than working in your business.
Well, and you know, one of the things that is really, I think, submarined a lot of businesses is that great technical person didn't know how to market that business.
Exactly.
Didn't know how to bring in the right people. And one of the things that I've seen time and time again is they brought in the wrong people.
I got a, it's interesting, Jim. I got a pretty scathing email a couple weeks ago from a veteran entrepreneur who had gotten some information about one of our programs, and he couldn't attend the program. So he was a little disgruntled because the program was happening during his business. And here's how he communicated his concern to me. He said, as a business owner, when I take time away from my business to go get training and education to go to a conference, I could lose up to $2,000 that day that I'm not in my business. And my response to him was this: I understand, but that tells me where you are in your business. You're working in your business instead of on your business, because education costs, but it pays for itself.
Yeah.
And so if you can step away from your business for a day, you may have lost $2,000 that day because you stepped away from your business. But the exponential growth that you get from the education and training from that one day could escalate your business to the next level.
Well, it teaches you how to leverage and bring in the right talent by understanding this concept. Because you can't do everything.
Exactly.
You've got to be a team.
And the example is, you come to our conference November 3rd, 2018, the Veterans Business Symposium and Resource Fair at the University of Texas at Arlington. You come to that conference, not only will you get education and training, but you'll be able to network with other business owners, other entrepreneurs who may be facing some of the same challenges that you're facing. And out of that, you can build your own internal mastermind group, your own board of directors, your own board of advisors. So now when you run into a challenge in your business, you're not trying to solve that challenge with the same brain that got you in the challenge in the first place.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing like a fresh set of eyes
exactly.
to look at a problem. And I think this is really, really one of the key issues, is when you become so focused internally, you don't exhibit the leadership.
My friend and mentor, Les Brown, who got me started so many years ago, one of the top five motivational speakers in the world, said to me, he said, "You can't see the picture if you're in the frame."
Yeah.
And that's where so many business owners are. They're in the frame trying to look at the picture. To see the full picture of your business, where your business is and where your business is going, you've got to step outside the frame and look back at the picture. You can't be in the frame looking at the picture. And that's what your board of advisors, your board of directors, your own mastermind group of individuals that you can connect with at one of our conferences, our conference in November, you connect with these individuals, you build this circle of influence around you, and when you have a challenge in your business, you can pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Joe, I've got this challenge here in my business. Have you had this challenge before?" Joe says, "Yeah, I had that challenge 3 years ago." "Well, Joe, how did you solve that challenge?" "Well, I did step A, B, and C." "Well, does step A work for me?" "Well, I don't know if it worked for you, but it worked for me." And you get that type of feedback and that type of interaction.
That's one of the things that I provide financial counseling to the Denton County Veterans Court. And one of the things I've found is my experience, somebody can say, "Well, I know you've never been through this, but I've got this problem right now." And I say, "Let me tell you, son, I'm 71 years old. I've been down that road. Okay, here's what I did and it worked. Or here's what I did and it failed. And so here are some of the things you need to do." That experience, that's why you have an advisory board. That's also when you start talking about employees. My experience, I look for somebody who's different from me.
Absolutely.
I look for somebody who's got some fresh ideas, who knows how to do something that I don't know how to do. I don't need another me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to diversify your team. You want to diversify your team with a different set of eyes, with a different set of skill set, with different generations, if possible, different backgrounds, if possible. You want to diversify your team and your circle of influence with as many different diverse issues, diverse mindsets, diverse thought processes as you can, as long as it adds value to the direction that you're going, as long as it adds value to your product and or your service.
Now, I tell you what, we're going to have Colonel John Antall coming on in the second hour. I hope maybe you can stick around with us. Colonel Antall teaches leadership, and this all dovetails together. So this is Jim Blythe. and the great, I'm saying the great, Patrick Alcorn. Known you for about 4 years. I am amazed at the success stories that I hear. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of that. So, again, this is Jim Blythe and Patrick Alcorn. We're talking about Strategic Saturday.
Absolutely. Strategies on Saturday. Just call it SOS.
SOS.
Strategies on Saturday.
How about success on Saturday?
There you go.
There we go. Saturdays. All right. Patrick Alcorn, Jim Blythe, we're going to be right back after this word from all of our partners. Tune in, join in, and go to VUTAVOBC, and we'll have that better when we get
1160 back. 1160 AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas. Brought to you by Grapevine Antique Market. In 1866, the Grapevine Masonic Lodge is organized. J.W. Dunn is the first worshipful master. In 1867, they decide to build a school. Pine lumber is hauled by ox teams over 150 miles from the mills in East Texas. School begins in September of 1869. Colonel W.P. Bishop is principal. The school remains open until 1886.
Hi, I'm Brandon Cantrell with Grapevine Antique Market. We sell vintage items, antiques, and a lot of current decorative items. Very cool. My husband lived here when I got married 33 years ago. It's a small town feeling, although it's not that small anymore. I've just gotten to know Grapevine, and I have lots of friends here, and I like it.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov. Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today.
Do you know someone who has a drinking problem or drug addiction? Well, you know what comes next. If you or someone close to you has a bad drinking or drug problem and they have private health insurance, free help may be available. Call a recovering addiction specialist now at the Detox and Treatment Helpline. They'll help you get clean and sober and give you a total rehab in a beautiful five-star treatment facility. It's like a vacation, but a clean vacation. If you have private health insurance, quitting drugs, quitting alcohol, and getting sober is just a free call away. Sorry, we don't accept Medicare or Medicaid. Make this free, confidential call now, before someone dies.
800-915-9734, 800-915-9734, 800-915-9734, 800-915-9734.
Hi, I'm Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor. I've been working with seniors for 10 years in Texas and Oklahoma, helping them with financial issues, home finance, helping them to restructure their life. Save their home, save the farm, that's what I do. I teach them, I help them, and I work with them. You can look me up on jimblythe.net or you can call me at 214-502-4600. That's 214-502-4600.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
This is Mark James inviting you to join us for flag-to-flag coverage of the 102nd running of the Indianapolis 500. 33 Verizon IndyCar Series drivers will race for the chance to go down in history and be named the winner of the greatest spectacle in racing.
Don't miss the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500, tomorrow only on 1160 AM KBDT.
Today's program is brought to you by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Visit us on Facebook or join the conversation by calling 214-810-TALK. That's 214-810-8255. And now, back to Alliance for the Brave.
Welcome back. This is Jim Blythe. If you're joining us on Facebook or you're joining us now, I'd like to present Colonel John Antall, the guru of leadership, also the author of one of my two favorite books that I have, and that is The Seven Leadership Lessons of D-Day. And I wanted you two guys, Patrick, I wanted you to meet Colonel Antall, because what you guys do is you provide leadership. You were also U.S. Army. You went to the point. I think it's really, really, yeah, I've got that one too. The Seven Leadership Lessons of the American Revolution. And by the way, Colonel Antall's going to be on with us for Veterans Day. I believe we're going to be doing something on the 4th of July nearby.
I hope so.
And
yes,
we're going to be doing something Christmas, because you are not only a leadership but historian. But let's go back to finish up what we were talking about. Again, you are the UT Arlington business development guy, and you've got a big conference coming in November 3rd, right?
November 3rd, 2018. It'll take place at University of Texas at Arlington, over there at UTA, here in Arlington, Texas. It'll be a full day of entrepreneur boot camp and access to resources. It's also going to be a franchise symposium. So we're bringing in several franchisors to talk about their franchise concepts, franchisees who own these franchise concepts. These are all veterans, to talk to you about their experience in being franchisees across the board, and the access to capital to help you purchase franchises if you have that interest. But Colonel Anton, I just want to say welcome to Strategies on Saturdays. It's great to see you. My great friend and mentor, John Maxwell, you're speaking in the space that he's known for, and where, you know, my favorite quote and his favorite line is, everything rises and falls on leadership. And I am a firm believer of that. I get calls all the time about folks saying, well, my business is failing because I didn't get access to capital, or because my money's funny, or my business is failing because I didn't get the right product development, or I couldn't manufacture my product. And I always go back to the beginning. I say, no, your business is failing because of leadership.
Agreed.
That's it. It's just leadership, because the right leader will find the capital. The right leader will get the product developed. The right leader will make all those problems go away.
Yeah, precisely right. And I'm also a John Maxwell mentor and student. So I love John Maxwell. You know, what's interesting is that when you look at leadership, you can look at it different ways, but I think everyone needs to have a personal definition of leadership. So one of the first things I do when I teach leadership is I say, what's leadership to you? Particularly if I'm hired by a company to come in and help them on their leadership. So I ask the CEO, I say, give me a definition of leadership. And they say, well, you know, it's leadership.
I hear it.
And I go, okay, look, let's stop the you knows and let's talk about what leadership is. What's your definition of leadership? And so the first thing I do is I have them take a piece of paper out and write down what their definition of leadership is. And I give them 3 minutes, and they end up thinking about it. But that's the first time in their lives they've ever written down what their definition of leadership is. And what I say is that if you have a definition of leadership that you've thought through, that you've actually had a chance to vet with other friends and other people you care about, and it makes sense to you, and it really is powerful to you, then that becomes your affirmation. And like every morning, I get up and I say my definition of leadership. And my definition of leadership is the act of influence. It is a sacred trust. It is the ability to influence and impel people to accomplish a mission. It is involved in three concepts, three sub-categories. One is character, competencies, and commitment. Now, I talk a lot about character, competencies, and commitment, because when you look at the situation of doing anything, entrepreneur, writing a book, having a business, surviving on a desert island, I mean, any kind of leadership at all where you're involved with more than one person, what counts is your character. What counts is your competencies, and what counts is your commitment. In fact, what's interesting, I like to look at these like a Falcon 9 rocket, where character and competencies, competencies is in the center. Character and commitment are on the flanks. So imagine this rocket booster with two rockets on the side and one in the center. Character takes you to high altitude. If you have a good character, you can do almost anything. But you can't get high at all without commitment. If you're not willing to commit, you'll never get anywhere. In fact, character and commitment, if those are strong, you can do tremendous things. You can get out of the atmosphere. You can get to high altitude.
And you could be successful and not blow up.
That's right.
So I'll tell you what we're going to do. In a couple of minutes, we're going to go to have the final words from this hour from our partners. And we're going to be back at the 10 o'clock hour with Colonel John Antall I think one of the gurus of leadership. And Patrick, maybe can you stick around a little bit and join in some of this conversation as we talk about leadership? But most importantly, what is June the 6th? That is D-Day. That was the longest day. I think it was one of the biggest battles that was decisive of World War II. And Colonel Antal, you're going to be talking about the leadership lessons of D-Day. So thank you so much for being here. Stick around. Listen, this is going to be a great program.
News, talk, weather, sports. This is 1160 AM KBDT, Highland Park, Dallas-Fort Worth. Big D Talk. The news starts now.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says his meeting with a senior North Korean official in New York went well, and the next stop is Washington. He says former North Korean military intelligence chief Kim Yong-chol will deliver a letter to President Trump from Kim Jong-un as work towards setting the stage for a Trump-Kim summit next month continues.
We've made real progress in the last 72 hours towards setting the conditions.
The meeting is once again set for June 12th, and Pompeo says he believes North Korea's leaders are seriously contemplating a big change in their nation's behavior, saying these meetings are a once-in-a-lifetime chance for peace and prosperity.
Our two countries face a pivotal moment in our relationship in which it could be nothing short of tragic to let this opportunity go to waste.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root. Healthcare in this country is a disaster. Health insurance is completely unaffordable and it covers very little. But there's a better way. I'm living proof. I've joined myself. I'm a Liberty HealthShare member. Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not from government. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by big government or insurance company bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty Health Share. Do it today. There are no windows, no limited enrollment period, no penalties. You can join Liberty Health Share at any time, 365 days a year. I did. My family is a member. Call Liberty toll-free at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information. That's 855-58-LIBERTY or online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
The Center for Disease Control says tainted lettuce has been off the shelf for a while, but more people have gotten sick with E. coli. More than two dozen cases have been reported and four more deaths linked to the romaine lettuce. The CDC's Brittany Bain.
We still think the people getting sick were from several weeks ago when romaine was still available.
She says some of the cases resulted from secondary transmission. So far, nearly 200 people have gotten sick in 35 states and five people have died. President Trump suggesting an end to NAFTA as we know it in favor of two bilateral agreements with U.S. neighbors.
I wouldn't mind seeing a separate deal with Canada where you have one type of product, so to speak, and a separate deal with Mexico. These are two very different countries. It's been a lousy deal for the United States from day one.
Meanwhile, Canada and the European Union have filed a challenge with the World Trade Organization concerning the new U.S. tariffs on aluminum and steel. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
More opposition is mounting against the president's tariffs. USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Steel and aluminum tariffs on some of the United States' closest allies officially went into effect Friday. President Trump suggested the tariffs against Canada and Mexico are part of the NAFTA renegotiations.
I love Canada. I love Mexico. I love them. But Mexico's making over $100 billion a year. And they're not helping us with our border because they have strong laws and we have horrible laws.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is the latest to call on the president to reconsider the tariffs, saying they'll not be good for the economy and will impede the progress that's been made economically. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
The National Retail Federation has a new report about Father's Day spending. They're saying it's close to last year and expected to reach $15.3 billion this year. With more, here's John Clemens.
That expected spending would be second only to last year's $15.5 billion on Father's Day. With consumer confidence on the rise, the average American will spend $133 per person. Catherine Cullen of the National Retail Federation tells us millennials are expected to spend even more.
We see consumers who are between the ages of 25 and 34 are planning to spend the most. They're planning to spend about $188 on average.
For USA Radio News, I'm John Clemens.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Welcome to Alliance for the Brave, a program that advocates for our veterans and first responders. Presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Certified Senior Advisor Jim Blythe, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Alliance for the Brave, serving and empowering those who have served in the line of duty, with a focus on bringing the core leadership values of honor, duty, and service to our communities. America, let's take action to take care of our brave men and women who have put their lives on the line to serve us nationally and locally. It's time to tune in, join in, and plug in. Welcome to Alliance for the Brave. And now, here's your host, Jim Blythe.
In the air everywhere, from the mighty Trinity to the Red River Valley, and soon to be from sea to shining sea, this is Alliance for the Brave. I'm Jim Blythe, U.S. Navy veteran, absolutely Vietnam Extension Branch. Man, that's where I got my education. Joining me today to bring you education, information, and communication, I think one of the best leaders in Dallas, Colonel John Antall. You are the guru of leadership, and you are the author of two books that I have really enjoyed, The Seven Leadership Lessons of the American Revolution and The Seven Leadership Lessons of D-Day. Well, D-Day, John, is next week.
That's right.
Wednesday.
That's right. On the 6th of June, 1944, one of the most climactic, dramatic, and most important battles in World War II occurred. It is amazing to think what would have happened if, against the tyranny and the great oppression that Nazi Germany represented, if the greatest generation, if young Americans had not stood up and said, this will not stand. I will, in fact, enlist. I will, in fact, join. I will, in fact, participate. I will, in fact, make sure that this struggle ends with our victory, with the victory of liberty, and not the victory of totalitarian dictatorship. The greatest generation, those folks who got up and stood up and did that, we owe them a tremendous debt. And when you think about the life we have today and the world we have today, that world is pretty much what they created. If it had been differently, if things had turned out differently on the 6th of June, 1944, then who knows what might have happened. Imagine a German victory on D-Day. Imagine
Spritzen Sie Deutsch.
Yeah, imagine a year or so before we could get in another invasion together. Imagine the development of rockets and the developments of atomic weapons that the Germans might have been able to produce.
They were very close. A lot of people don't realize they were very close,
yeah,
as well as with the jet engines. They were very close. They had designs on the drawing board for long-range bombers.
Well, they were decades ahead of us on rockets. Their V-2 rocket was absolutely a killer and absolutely amazing, and they had plans to make even bigger rockets that could hit the United States from Germany. So the kind of rockets they were creating are the kind of rockets we have today in many cases. Now, not anywhere near as sophisticated, but nonetheless, a rocket that could travel just from France, from France or Holland to London, was impossible by any other nation except for Germany. Had they been able to develop their nuclear weapon technology, then who knows what would have happened. And if D-Day had failed, they might have had the time to do more harm. Many more millions would have died. So imagine again, in our sort of nice, comfortable world that we live in, and even if times are hard for you, they're not as hard as they would have been had the Nazis won World War II. Someone had to stop them, and these guys did, and D-Day was a defining moment. It was a defining moment in our history and something every American should be very proud of.
Without a doubt. And the leadership lessons that you've written about, and your book is available on Amazon.
Yes.
We're going to tell people how they can get it, how they can get in touch with you. If they want to have a great speaker come to their organization, I want people to know, how can they get a hold of you, Colonel?
Well, if you need a speaker to talk about leadership, about a historical subject like D-Day or the American Revolution, if you want a speaker to talk about liberty, about how we should appreciate the liberties that we have and how important they are and what freedom really is, and if you want to just have someone talk about how you can grow a better business in the sense of leadership, have a better family, I mean, do a better job at any organization, nonprofit, whatever, as long as you have people involved, leadership's involved, then please contact me. And the easiest way to do that is to go to American-Leadership.com. That's American-Leadership.com. You can go onto that website, you can check me out, and then you can click on a link, and it'll immediately send me an email, and I'll get back to you within 48 hours, and I can tell you if the schedule will work. But I speak all over the country and have been speaking a lot this last week. I was just the keynote speaker at the Frisco Memorial Day service, which was an amazing ceremony put on by the city of Frisco and supported by the VFW there in Frisco. And we had about 250 people there, and it was just very, very emotional and very, very moving. And then I was at the Grapevine Rotary Club just last Wednesday talking about North Korea. So one of the things I do is I talk about the North Korean situation and the current ongoing series of negotiations that are happening to bring about the talks in Singapore and other things. I spent 7 years in the Korean Peninsula. I commanded a tank battalion on the demilitarized zone. I was an aide for a senior Air Force general during that time, who was the commander, vice commander of all of Korea. And I've spent many, many years there. I was just there in December and went to Panmunjom, went to the Truce Talk Village, went into North Korea for a short period of time, talked to senior leaders. So I've been doing a lot of that kind of thing, and I'm available for any organization if they're interested in having a speaker. So contact me at American-Leadership.com.
There is an organization that I think really needs you. It's in Washington. It's housed in this sort of white building.
Yeah, well, I'll be in Washington on Monday. So,
well, buddy, I'm praying for you. Let me go back, John, and ask you a question. What prompted you to write The 7 Leadership Lessons of D-Day? I think this is one of the best books and most fascinating books I've ever read. But what motivated you to do this?
Well, thank you, Jim. That's very kind of you. My motivation for this is to help people learn more about leadership. If you want to be a better leader, you need to read. You need to read to lead. Every leader that I've ever met, good leader, every effective leader I've met is a voracious reader. They read all the time. And if you look at how many books you read a year, how many of those are leadership books? If leadership is one of the most important things, because I believe all things rise or fall on the level of your leadership, you will rise to the level of your leadership. And if your leadership level is high, you can do great good for many people. If your leadership level is low, your life is very hard because you can't work with anyone else. You can't get things done. You can't get teams to work together. So I took the different case studies. I did my first 7 Leadership Lessons book. This is my 15th book now. But this is the leadership line of 7 Leadership Lessons is a series of books that I'm going to be writing. And the first one was on the American Revolution. I wanted to start off with the idea of what leadership was and what liberty is.
Mm-hmm.
Why is leadership and liberty so tied closely together, and why is liberty important? So I talked about that in 7 Leadership Lessons of the American Revolution. And hopefully we'll talk about liberty on the 4th of July. And I look
you
forward
bet
to that,
we will.
That event. And because I think people understand inherently what leadership is and what freedom is, but one of the things that is very important, and a great Greek philosopher, Socrates, said that all understanding starts with definition. Well, if all understanding starts with definition, then there's some things you need to define. For instance, what is leadership? you should have your own personal definition of leadership. So everyone who's listening right now, don't do this if you're driving, but take out a piece of paper and actually write down your definition of leadership within, you know, three or four sentences. And you say, well, why should I do that? Well, you're a leader in a family. You're a leader in a business. You're a leader in a pro bono organization. You're a leader in your church. What is leadership? And if you don't know what leadership is, someday someone's going to come up to you and say, hey, you've been doing a great job. I really like you as a leader. You're teaching me a lot. What is leadership? And if your answer is, gosh, I never thought about it, that's not very powerful. Whereas if you can give them a definition that is formed in your heart and in your head, and you can give that definition, then suddenly that's a very powerful teaching lesson. So what is your definition of leadership? And the same thing goes with liberty. What is liberty? What is freedom?
My definition of leadership is servant leadership, which means I listen and I communicate, trying to have a relationship, trying to find that commonality so that we can communicate. And as a servant leader, instead of forcing my will or forcing my vision on others, I try and find that common ground so that we can share a vision. And once we share a vision, then I can basically enlist that person to join me. So my personal feeling is a servant leader can be a really great leader because they want to listen and they want to communicate. Because if you can't communicate, you're ineffective.
Well, I agree. And that's an excellent way of looking at it. One of the things I ask people when we talk about leadership is, what kind of leader do you want to be? And let me give you two spectrums. Let me say on one hand, you're a loose rein leader, where you allow people to pretty much rise to their abilities and to, you know, to get some very basic guidance, and you don't micromanage. And then you are there's a tight rein leader. So tight reined on the left, if you will, left hand, right hand is loose rein. Now, what kind of leader do you want to be?
I personally want to be right down the middle. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there are times when you need to get that communication and get that vision out there, and you may need to gently step in and say, well, now, here's a problem. How would you like to solve it? So you combine the best of both worlds.
Excellent. Well, Jim, that's because you've had many, many experiences in leadership, and you're a good leader. You understand that.
I was president of my first company at age 30.
Well, well done, and you know the difference. So here's what happens. Most people say, well, I want to be a loose rein leader. Well, and I tell you, well, that's nice, but you see, it's not what you want. It's what your team needs. You see, a leader has to be able to move across the spectrum from tight rein to loose rein. And you say, I don't ever want to be tight rein. Okay, well, let me give you an example. Let's say you're a football coach, high school football coach. It's the first day of high school football training, and all the kids show up, and they're going to be freshmen on your high school team, high school football team. Do you want to be loose rein or tight rein?
Yeah, everybody wants to be the quarterback.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
No, that doesn't work.
Well, you can't do that. So, you know, there's times when you have to coach, teach, and mentor at tight rein until you can loosen up, and then you're trained people so that they, in fact, have been educated, and you've developed their leadership, and now they can go ahead and they can understand intent, and they can understand how to be loose rein leaders. The point is that this is an art, not a science, and the bottom line is that if you are not reading something about leadership so that you can be thinking about this in your head very often, then your leadership level isn't as sharp as it should. If you want to polish that leadership, then you want to read to lead, and you want to read as much as you can. And if it's one book a year, okay, that's a certain level. If it's 10 books a year, 10 leadership books a year, that's a higher level. There's no reason you couldn't read one book a week. Now, some people say, oh, my God, I couldn't read one book a week. You'd be surprised what you could do if you focus.
You bet. I think, and besides your books, The Seven Leadership Lessons, The American Revolution, and of D-Day, you also subscribe to John Maxwell.
Yes.
Absolutely great leadership training. I can be willing to bet that on your library shelves, you're going to find Stephen Covey, Hiram Smith.
Absolutely.
How many more?
Many more. And so many John Maxwell, you wouldn't believe. I mean, he's written so many books. I'm a Maxwell certified trainer, and there's a lot to be said for that. But I coach, teach, and mentor my own way.
I tell you what let's do. Let's talk more about this, but let's get into
D-Day.
This great D-Day, because D-Day's coming up, and people need to remember it. Just kind of like carry the load, brought back the memory of what happened that brought us to Memorial Day. I want to bring back the memory and the lessons from D-Day, because that is so important. So this is Jim Blythe, and I'm with Colonel John Antal. I think the guru of leadership who has written the book, Many More Ways Than One. So this is Jim Blythe with Colonel Antal. We'll be right back. Also, go to Facebook. Go to either my Facebook, Jim Blythe, or Alliance for the Brave. And we'll be right back after these words.
AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas. Brought to you by the Spice and Tea Exchange at 319 South Main Street. In mid-November of 1845, settlers from Missouri, the Archibald Leonard family, B.J. and Hiram Crowley, Ambrose Foster, and the family of Judge Jacob Moorhead settled near Lonesome Dove. 2 years later, the Lonesome Dove Baptist Church was established south of Judge Moorhead's place near Grapevine.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange. We started in Fort Worth and just really loved the Grapevine area. We wanted to capture the folks that were from Dallas that came to the stockyards that said, oh, this is so far for us. And Grapevine is such a beautiful area. We decided that that was a perfect place for our second location.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange.
Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today.
You have to sell your gorgeous but suddenly unaffordable house. Now, who will buy it? These guys buy. You have to sell your mom and dad's old rundown house. Now, who will buy it? These guys buy. You have to sell your crazy Aunt Zelda's house. You know, the one with all the cats. These guys buy. Taj Mahal? These guys buy. Old musty dump? These guys buy. Just plain ugly? These guys buy. Sell your property now. As is, no fees, no repairs, no waiting. TheseguysBuy.com. TheseguysBuy.com. TheseguysBuy.com.
The American Red Cross, the Dallas Baptist Men, Community Emergency Response Teams, the Salvation Army. To that list, add the RLA Scouts. Founded in the ashes of 9/11, the RLA Scouts provide agile, well-trained, certified, and vetted first response personnel available to police and fire rescue at a moment's notice. And we need you. Whether you help fund the mission or join the mission, consider the RLA Scouts. Visit their website now and make a tax-deductible donation. RLAscouts.org. The RLA Scouts, the next rescue resource for Texas.
Hi, I'm Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor. I've been working with seniors for 10 years in Texas and Oklahoma, helping them with financial issues, home finance, helping them to restructure their life. Save their home, save the farm, that's what I do. I teach them, I help them, and I work with them. You can look me up on jimblythe.net, or you can call me at 214-502-4600. That's 214-502-4600.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 3030.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave, honoring, serving, and empowering those who have served in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. And now, back to the conversation on Alliance for the Brave.
Welcome back. This is Jim Blythe with Colonel John Antal. John, thank you so much for being here, not only to share the seven leadership lessons of D-Day, but to talk about the importance of D-Day. And I think you've got some audio clips that we need to hear.
Jim, thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. And again, we're talking today about leadership and looking at leadership through the lens of what happened on the 6th of June, 1944. We're coming up on the 74th anniversary. Next year will be the 75th, of course. And it's an amazing thing to see the heroes that created our today. And D-Day was such a valuable time. Now, one of the things that was important to understand who leads this effort. Well, General Dwight D. Eisenhower, nicknamed Ike. He was an amazing leader, and he had a tremendous weight on his shoulders for this D-Day invasion. 5,000 ships, over a million soldiers that are going to be involved, paratroopers, bombers, all these things happening, all the intelligence involved, the characters involved, the personalities involved. He had to put all that together and make it happen. And he put out a broadcast that went out to all of the soldiers, sailors, and airmen who fought on D-Day, and it went out on the 5th of June to all of them to listen to right before they were either parachuting out of aircraft or getting on ships or getting ready to drop bombs behind the German lines. So if we could now, let's listen to General Eisenhower's talk about D-Day.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940-41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeats in open battle, man-to-man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home front have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking.
And that broadcast went out right before the invasion, didn't it,
Carl? Right. It wasn't a radio broadcast, but it was recorded, and it was first of all, he handed out presentation was handed out to all the soldiers, so most of them got a copy of it. So a lot of the paratroopers actually read this instead of hearing it, but others were able to hear a recording that Eisenhower had made, this recording, mm-hmm. which went out over the ships and went out over the in the air drones right before the pilots took off. So they all heard his voice. And then later on, that recording became historic, and of course it was played often at other times. But the idea was for him to give his full view of his intent of what was going to happen and give them a short pep talk before they went into the fight, because this day, D-Day, was one of the most dramatic points in history. And Eisenhower knew how dangerous the possibilities were. He knew that this thing was not a foregone conclusion. Victory was not preordained. And the challenge we have is that we look back at this and we go, oh, of course we won World War II. But just imagine, we could have lost on D-Day. And had we lost on D-Day, tremendously bad things would have happened for the world. One of the things that Eisenhower, he was so sure that this would work, but just to be sure, you know, just because every leader has his doubts, he had a letter in his pocket that he had scribbled out. And in that letter, he said, "Our invasion has failed. The responsibility is fully mine." Mm. The soldiers, sailors, and airmen did the best that courage could demand. All responsibility is mine. He thought that, because this invasion could have failed. Now, how could the invasion have failed? There's so many different ways. The Germans could have done many, many things that they did not do. First of all, they did not find out the place and the time of the invasion.
Yeah, they thought it was going to go to Pas-de-Calais.
That's right. They thought that it would go across from England to France at the most narrow point, which makes a lot of sense if you're going to try to have an invasion. However, the German 15th Army was ensconced in the Pas-de-Calais area and so strongly defended that our casualties would have been amazing.
Oh, It would have been catastrophic. Plus, there, I think it caught them by such tremendous surprise. And I think that the leadership that Eisenhower did, and when you talked about the various groups, you also got to say there were several nationalities.
Oh, this was a joint effort with many countries.
There was
British, Canadian, New Zealand, Australian, you know, Czech, all free French.
All right, we're going to be talking more about D-Day with Colonel John Antall. I want to get into what we were also talking about, the Point de Hoc.
Yes.
And I think that's an exciting story right there, because that was the birth of our airborne Rangers today, wasn't it?
Well, it was a very important fight.
All right.
And we need to talk about that.
All right. We're going to be right back after this word from our partners. This is Jim Blythe with Colonel John Antall. We're talking about D-Day, and we'll be right back.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says his meeting with a senior North Korean official in New York went well, and the next stop is Washington. He says former North Korean military intelligence chief Kim Jong-chol will deliver a letter to President Trump from Kim Jong-un as work towards setting the stage for a Trump-Kim summit next month continues.
We've made real progress in the last 72 hours towards setting the conditions.
The meeting is once again set for June 12th, and Pompeo says he believes North Korea's leaders are seriously contemplating a big change in their nation's behavior, saying these meetings are a once-in-a-lifetime chance for peace and prosperity.
Our two countries face a pivotal moment in our relationship in which it could be nothing short of tragic to let this opportunity go to waste.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
When I say Italy, what comes to mind?
Venice, Capri. Oh my gosh, Capri was marvelous.
The views, the cliffside views, or traveling to Sorrento.
Pirello Tours.
Oh, Pirello Tours, for sure.
Pirello.
Hi, I'm Steve Pirello of Pirello Tours. With over 70 years of tour experience to Italy, it's no wonder Pirello Tours is synonymous with travel to Italy.
I think of the culture.
And to walk up to certain areas and touch a wall and think, well, this wall's like 3,000 years old.
Being on a Pirello Tour on our anniversary was better than anything I can remember ever on an anniversary.
I personally approve every itinerary to ensure a stress-free, once-in-a-lifetime vacation.
Salute!
Call now for your free insider's guide to Pirillo's Italy. Call in the next 30 minutes and qualify for a $100 gift card when you travel with us. Call 800-547-6018. 800-547-6018. 800-547-6018.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-2206. That's 1-800-379-2206.
Getting ready to go here at the Pocono Raceway.
The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series.
A racetrack unlike any other.
NASCAR's best drivers tangle.
Blaney goes all the way onto the apron. Kyle Busch is going to crowd him down there.
On the tricky triangle.
And here comes Kevin Harvick from the third spot.
The Pocono 400.
23-year-old Ryan Blaney will score his first career win.
Sunday at noon on the Motor Racing Network.
Don't miss the Pocono 400 tomorrow at noon on 1160 AM KBDT.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave, honoring, serving, and empowering those who have served in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. And now, back to the conversation on Alliance for the Brave.
Welcome back. This is Jim Blythe, Alliance for the Brave, where we are featuring John Antall, Colonel, United States Navy, retired.
Army.
Oops. Sorry about that.
God bless the Navy, but I'm Army.
I have Navy on the brain. I apologize.
It's okay.
But also, you are the author of two great books that I have read, and that's why I wanted you to be here today to talk about the seven leadership lessons and talk about D-Day. Now, you had something else that you wanted to play for us and talk about this morning.
Right. Well, if you ever again need me to be a speaker at your organization, or if you want to find out more about my books and what I do, again, go to American-Leadership.com. That's American-Leadership.com. Well, what we're talking about today is D-Day, as Jim was saying, and one of the most important things to understand is that it could have gone any way. It could have failed. And General Eisenhower, we just listened to his discussion of his presentation to the troops about why this was so important. And Ike was a great communicator. He was a good man who would go to the troops and talk to them just like he was a brother or a father or an uncle. And they respected him tremendously. And but he also knew that the D-Day could have failed. And he kept in his pocket a letter that said what would happen if it had failed, so that if anything had gone wrong, he could have immediately responded. Luckily, it didn't go wrong, but one of the reasons it didn't was because the nation was so unified and wanted so much to end the scourge of Nazism. A great leader we had then, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, after the D-Day invasion was announced, issued a prayer to the nation, a prayer to the entire nation that went on every radio station, which was the main means of communication, of entertainment and information of the day. So if we can, let's listen to the Franklin Delano Roosevelt prayer.
My fellow Americans, last night when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment the troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard. For the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest, until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in Thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of special prayer. But because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in a continuance of prayer. As we rise to each new day, and again when each day is spent, let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking thy help to our efforts. Give us strength, too, strengthen our daily tasks, to redouble the contributions we make in the physical and the material support of our armed forces. And let our hearts be stout, to wait out the long travel, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons, wheresoever they may be. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in Thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dulled. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters of but fleeting moment, let not these deter us in our unconquerable purpose. With thy blessing, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogances. Lead us to the saving of our country, and with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace, a peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen.
Amen.
Colonel, I think I need to hear that prayer about once a day.
I'll tell you, that was it was an amazing thing, and you can see why leadership is important. Leadership from the president to Eisenhower, down to all of the young leaders that were involved on D-Day. And I ask all of our listeners to remember that we're at war now. We have soldiers in harm's way. We have men and women who are serving in Syria and in Iraq and in Afghanistan and in Korea and in a lot of other places around the world, in Africa. And we still need to remember them. The point of today, though, is to think forward a few days and remember that on the 6th of June, 2018, we'll be at the 74th anniversary of D-Day. And D-Day was a critical, important day in our history, in American history, because had it failed, we would have been totally different. Germany might have been able to win the war. Germany at least might not have maybe you know, it staved off defeat, and because of their technological prowess with rocketry and other things, who knows what would have happened. So to try to learn from those lessons, which is what we should do. We should try to learn from their sacrifice. We should try to gain something from what they did and try to learn what they did. So what I did was I put together a book called Seven Leadership Lessons of the American Revolution and Seven Leadership Lessons of D-Day. The book Seven Leadership Lessons of D-Day is focused on trying to learn lessons from the greatest generation who fought on D-Day. Now, I don't take just the big lessons from just the generals. I do have a chapter on General Eisenhower because the decision that Eisenhower had to make on when to have the invasion was not an easy decision. He had certain windows with which he could say, yes, the invasion should be launched. The weather had to be just right. It had to be right. The waves had to be low enough, had to be easy enough so that the landing craft could come in. They had to be quiet enough so that the floating tanks, we had tanks that could swim, swimming tanks could make it to the beach, because the concept was to have those tanks show up first and try to save lives. It had to be a full moon so that the paratroopers, so the aircraft could fly, because the aircraft had no, were flying at night, and the aircraft had no night vision devices. They had a radio beacon with only the lead ship, and they had no radios.
You know, I used to belong to the Commemorative Air Force, and I've flown in a DC-3 that would have been one of the planes that the paratroopers went in, yes, across the channel. And you're sitting there, you're thinking, and I'm a licensed pilot, you're thinking, my God, how did they do that? Because there was hardly any instruments.
Right,
they were flying by the seat of their pants.
They were flying in a V formation, watching the blue lights and the fire that came off the engines, the engine cowlings. They were doing a visual flight. So my point is that we had to have a full moon so that the pilots could actually see each other and fly in formation. And all of this had to happen in the precise timings of the tides, because if the tides were wrong, then you would end up with, at high tide, all of the German obstacles which were put out on the beach would rip the bottoms of the ships and blow up the ships with mines. So you had to do it at low tide. So Eisenhower had this very difficult challenge. He had to find a time when the low tides were right, when the moon was right, when the wind was right, when the waves were right. And all those things had to be coordinated. And there were only so many days a month where those conditions existed because of the tides and other things. So
they also needed to go at a time of year when they could mount the invasion and then carry forth, because if winter hit too soon.
Right, you couldn't launch the invasion in November very easily. Now, they had initially planned the invasion for May, but because they were lacking in several key things for D-Day, primarily the number of landing craft. They needed more landing craft, so they had to wait until that happened. Now, all this time that they're waiting and getting ready for the invasion, the Germans are trying to find out where and when it's going to happen. And the Germans could not believe that we would land anywhere but at a port city, because an army to get ashore needs a port. And if you don't have a port, you can't supply them. So the army could get ashore, but if you can't give them their bullets, their ammunition, you know, their fuel, their food, their medical supplies, their spare parts, then they would be crushed by the German counterattack. In fact, the German commander on the other side, there were two German commanders. There was von Rundstedt, who was the overall commander of the German forces, who commanded the Panzer reserves if Hitler would give them to them, and then Erwin Rommel, who was commander basically of the water's edge and the initial beach defenses and all that. Those two guys were kind of competing against each other. Von Rundstedt believed that once the invasion happened, no problem, we'll just crush it, because they can't get enough stuff ashore unless they try to take one of our ports, and we've made all the ports into fortresses. And they did. Those fortress ports were very difficult to take. But see, one of the things we did, and Winston Churchill was key to this, was we created a floating port. We think we created a thing called a mulberry. So what's interesting is that we were able to put a port wherever we wanted. And because of that, the Germans had no idea where we were going to land. It was one of the reasons. So we had five invasion beaches that go from the east to the west. I'll take them from the west to the east. That's Utah, which is on the far western edge of the Cotentin Peninsula in Normandy. Utah, which was divided between the other beaches. Omaha, Gold, Juno, and Sword. And Utah and Omaha were American beaches. Gold, Juno, and Sword were British and Canadian. And also Free French were involved in raids on the flanks. So this was a tremendous operation. It could have gone the wrong way, and leadership made the difference. Leadership, you know, made the difference.
One of the other things is the Germans had a fear and a respect for General Patton. General Patton,
yes,
pulled off one of the greatest ruses that basically threw everybody off. So his leadership abilities, which they were afraid of, was also used to be able to defeat the Germans.
That's right.
And set this up.
And therefore the subject of my next book, Seven Leadership Lessons of George Patton.
Oh, I can't wait. I want to read that one before you put it to print. All right. This is Jim Blythe with Colonel John Antall, the leader who writes the Seven Leadership Lessons. We're going to be right back after this word from our partners, and make sure you know how to get a hold of Colonel Antall and how you can get his book. We'll be right back.
AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas. Brought to you by Grapevine Power Sports. In 1889, the J.E. Faust store opens on Main Street. It's now Grapevine's oldest remaining brick building. Eggs sell for 10 cents per dozen. Butter is 20 cents per pound. And chickens are $2.50 a dozen.
I'm Aaron McWhorter with Grapevine Power Sports. When I bought the dealership, I came in to buy a four-wheeler. They were a freestanding Kawasaki dealership. And I said, Dennis, I don't mean to pry. Are you interested in selling this place? And he said, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but we're fixing to put it on the market. I said, Dennis, I'll take it. In the last 3 years, we've done 60% increase. The mayor's a customer of mine. The city manager is a customer of mine. A lot of friends that live here still. The small town feel right in the middle of the big metroplex.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov. Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I had some ulcer issues on my leg that I had from Vietnam. It would erupt on occasion of periods of stress. When I was taking juices, you know, these ulcers had disappeared, but I was not able to get good quality fruits and vegetables to make good juices. And, you know, these ulcers came back. But since I've been taking the fruit and the veggie capsules, these ulcers again have subsided.
Good health is only a phone call away. What are you waiting for? Don't miss your opportunity to get a free month's supply of Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code USA.
Today's program is brought to you by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Visit us on Facebook or join the conversation by calling 214-810-TALK. That's 214-810-8255. And now, back to Alliance for the Brave.
Good to be here.
Welcome back. This is Jim Blythe with Colonel John Antall. We're going to be wrapping up a program that is really a great opportunity to learn. John, again, you have written the Seven Leadership Lessons, and if you're on Facebook, you can see I'm holding the book about the American Revolution. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And by the way, I have asked you to be on our Christmas program because the first Christmas is in this book.
The America's First Christmas, yes.
And then the Seven Leadership Lessons of D-Day. Goodness gracious, John. We could spend 3 hours talking about this book.
I certainly could, yes.
And so people can get the book on Amazon. How can they get a hold of you? Because I think it's important that your opportunities grow to be able to tell people about this, especially in the contentious world we live in today.
Right. Well, it's all about leadership, and that's what I talk about. That's why both books are about leadership. So what I do is I take a case study, and I draw from that the leadership lessons that you can use in any walk of life, whether it's with your family, whether it's with your church group, whether it's with your business, whether it's in the military, doesn't matter, government, whatever you do, you can learn from these lessons. And if you're not reading, you're not leading. You have to read to lead. And you can reach me at American-Leadership.com. That's American-Leadership.com. You can click on a link there that will send me an email. And if you need a speaker for your organization, please email me, and I'll get in contact with you as fast as I can after you email me, and we'll discuss what we can do.
I think that's crucially important, getting the message out there. I was at a luncheon meeting, and somebody said to me, why do we need so many aircraft carriers? Why do we need such a big military? And I said, does the name Neville Chamberlain mean anything to you? And the guy looked at me, and he goes, who are you talking? What does that have to do with that? Sure. And I said, because Neville Chamberlain was the Prime Minister of England who basically gave everything away to Hitler that allowed the invasions of Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Austria, Poland. And as a result, nobody really tried to stop him.
Yeah, in the 1940s, people need to understand that totalitarianism was on the march. It could have been the future of mankind. The Germans were winning everywhere from 1940 to about 1943. They were just unstoppable. Hitler had focused all of his energy of his society into the military, very similar to what North Korea has done. They focused all of their energy into the military. Their people are starving, but their military will work. Their nuclear weapons will work. And what's interesting today is that although totalitarianism was on the march in 1940s, and we were able to stop it with our allies, and we were able to win so that liberty could exist again, so that free republics could have a breathing space to try to be nurtured and continue, totalitarianism is on the march again today. Today, there are more people living under totalitarian governments than there are free governments.
And it's a frightening thought, isn't it, John? We live in a very dangerous, contentious world. And here's one of the things, and I've heard this said by some of our enemies, you American imperialists, do you know the United States does not own any soil outside of the United States except for the cemeteries of our soldiers and sailors?
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, imagine if Soviet Russia had liberated Europe instead of us.
Imagine well, they did. Part of it.
They did. The Eastern Europe, but they kept it until the end of the Cold War. So imagine if some other nation, if America had not stood up. No matter what anyone says, America is a force for good in the world. I strongly believe in my study of history that America is a force for good in the world. And it is the opportunity for people to do things for themselves. Now, if you want to live in a society where everyone does stuff for you, where the government becomes the person who, the thing that gives you everything, that's what's happened. That's what a totalitarian country does.
Well, not only that, that's socialism. And unfortunately, it's never worked.
Right.
It's short term and it brings power. Basically, what you're doing is giving power to people who abuse it. But this is what our American military is doing. And having recently been on the USS Truman to interview sailors out there, John, the young men and women that are serving today are unbelievable. And the leadership that they're learning is absolutely paramount. So again, the 7 leadership lessons of D-Day, we're about coming to the end. We've told people how to get a hold of you. You can go to Amazon for this book. I highly recommend it. It's without a doubt in the story we were talking about of the Point de Hoc, is it was
right. 2nd Ranger Battalion, actually a Provisional Ranger Group led by James Earl Rudder, who later after the war became the president of Texas A&M University. So if you're an Aggie and you don't know who James Earl Rudder is, well, slap yourself and go buy this book and read about what he did at the Point de Hoc, because many people tell about the story of Point de Hoc, where the Rangers scaled the cliffs and went there and the guns were not there, and they go, well, that was it. Well, that's not the whole story. And you don't know the backstory. This tells you the backstory. Unbelievable unbelievable chaos happens before the invasion, and Rudder's leadership makes all the difference. Without him, they wouldn't have taken those guns out.
All right, Colonel Antal, I want you to be a regular on my program.
Be happy to do so, sir.
And we need to talk about Korea. So let's arrange that. So that, and then the 4th of July, I want to talk about that. So this is Jim Blythe. I am so thrilled always to have Colonel John Antal. Again, where can people go to find out about you?
Please go to American-Leadership.com. That's American-Leadership.com. If you need a speaker for your group, for your church group, for your school, for your business, I teach leadership to businesses. I've taught police departments, fire departments. I try to raise your leadership level so that your organization can be more effective and your people can rise to the level of their leadership.
John, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
I greatly appreciate it. And I call you Colonel out of tremendous respect.
I'm honored. Thank you, sir.
All right. To all of my soldiers,